chance you get. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn over with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to have to do a lot of plowing this morning. We need to wake up and do jumping jacks or something. I'm not sure. You know, Jesus is so wonderful. You ought to get happy when you come to church. Amen. Did we sing you sad this morning? I'm so sorry. Glory to God. God's good. Amen. When you get to heaven, you're going to walk in. It's going to be a fullness of joy. Hallelujah. So we might as well just live that way, full of the joy of the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." I love this passage. I love this reality, and I love how it is echoed again and again throughout Scripture in many different ways. But it's a reality that the children of Israel lived with, and it's definitely a reality that we should live with. For although we may fall, come on, we're going to go through some trouble. Right? We talk about this often because it's just the reality of life. It's what you do in the trouble that makes all the difference. Hallelujah. Having the knowledge that I'm being upheld by his mighty hand. That I think about this now. Look at what David said. The steps of a good man. Now, he's not just talking about the male species, right? Come on. If it's good for the men, it's better for the women. Praise the Lord in everything in life. The steps of a good man, or we could add there, or woman, are ordered by the Lord. Do you believe that? Man, I believe that. When I look back over my life, I can see the hand of God all over in many steps. Amen. Many seasons. That my walk, come on, is not just a walk of what Jay can do, and it's not just a walk even of my wisdom. But there is a walk daily, a progression towards what's next. And I have to know and I have to believe this is true. Come on, my steps are ordered by the Lord. And so today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about walking closely with him. There's nothing distant about our Father God. No desire for him to be distant. That's why he sent his son, so that we could trade places with him, that we could become sons. Because sons get a chance to walk closely with their fathers. Amen? Amy was busy with ministry stuff this week, and I thought, I'm not going to let her outdo me. I got some ministry I want to do, right? I have somebody I want to go minister to. So Lake and I just took off and went to Colorado, and Lake loved it. We got a cheap Frontier Airlines flights. If you've never flown Frontier, you got to. Or Allegiant, right? Don't you love those budget airlines? I enjoyed it. I met a Frontier employee last night. He said, "I've never even flown on a Frontier flight." I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "My dad works for Delta. I get to fly the good airlines." I thought, that's just wrong, you know? I said, it's all right if the seats don't recline. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, come on, you can still get from here to there. And so we caught a couple of cheap Frontier flights and went to Denver. And Lake loved every second. Why? Because he was with Dad. Right? Come on, everywhere I was at, I was conscious of where he was at. Every crowd we were in, come on, I knew where he was. And everywhere that he was, he made sure he knew where I was. Why? Because we were together. Come on now. This is the relationship our Father God desires to have with us. So while I was there, and we were just north of Denver in Fort Collins, and I walked out on the back deck of Cousin Todd's house, and the dog was outside. We had to let the dog outside. Well, he's got an inside dog. Oh, and I miss those days. I grew up animal loving, dog loving. We had about everything you could put, you know, around the house. We never had pigs, but we had just about everything else. And we didn't have a dog. We had dogs, plural. Right, because we loved them, and we fed them table scraps the way you're supposed to. Amen. I don't know what's up with all this, you know. I better get off that. I'll get myself in trouble. All these special foods, you know. People spend more money on their dog's food than they do their own. When I had Giovanni's, I had a lady come every Friday night. She'd get two family specials, and pepperoni sausage, cheese sticks, 2 liter. And I just saw her come in. I asked her one time, are you feeding a big family every week? She said, oh, no, it's not for my family. She said, the one's for my husband and I. The other family special is for my dogs, my 2 Rottweilers. And I thought, wow, they're eating good, you know. So I said to her one week, I said, hey, I'll just save you back all the buffet scraps for the dogs if you want. You don't have to buy 2. She said, my dogs do not eat leftovers. They like it hot just the way we do. And I thought, well, glory to God. Come on, $20 every Friday night. And so I grew up with dogs. And aren't they wonderful? They just reciprocate the love that we give them. And Amy grew up in a family without dogs. And so since we got married, you know, she wins. Praise the Lord. That's how life is, isn't it? And so we're not selfish. The relationship of marriage is about giving. It's about preferring one another, right? Preferring the other. So she doesn't like dogs, so we don't have dogs. I brought home a dog one time. She said, don't you even know me? I thought, okay, the dog's going to go. Amen, I'm staying. Yeah, I could tell it was going to be one or the other. And so if you're a dog lover, don't hold it against Amy. She's just wonderful. Amen, praise God. God made us all different. And I was there in Cousin Todd's house, and I had to let the dog out. The dog went out on the porch. And man, the Holy Spirit just uses everything to teach you everything. I love it. Just teachable moments constantly. Why? Because you're walking with him. The same way that all week while I'm with Lake, there were just 10 or 12 wonderful teachable moments. And, you know, at 12, it's kind of interesting because I love his insight. He's paying more attention than I knew, you know. So he made a couple cracks this week that were just priceless. And so just constantly. So the same when you're walking with the Lord. Come on. What's Psalm 37 say? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I love it that he said steps, not just your race, not just the distant plane. No. Every day, every moment, your steps. He's ordering my steps, the people I'm going to contact, the people I'm going to come in. So when you're walking closely with him, come on, he's just going to use all kinds of stuff to teach you constantly and to encourage you and to bring you revelation to the word. And so I got thinking about all the different types of people and different types of families and how they treat their dog. Some people keep the dogs outside. They're not allowed in the house. Amen? My neighbors have a Great Pyrenees. And the one that we had when we moved in 2005 has since went on to doggy heaven. I believe he made doggy heaven. I don't think he went to doggy hell. And it since went on, right? And so they just recently picked up a new puppy. A Great Pyrenees puppy. Well, you understand, a Great Pyrenees puppy weighs about 80 pounds. You know, I mean, it's still a puppy. It'll get to about 180, you know, before it's done. Huge, massive things. And so, all white hair, just beautiful. But the Great Pyrenees, I noticed, he doesn't get to go in the house. He's an outside dog, right? And then other people have dogs, and they let them in the house, but they keep them in a cage at night. Don't let them roam freely. Well, terriers, things like that, they chew up stuff, tear up the furniture. Wouldn't have one of them. And so, you know, and so then you got other people. They have house dogs, right? They're allowed in the house. They just roam freely. They're just part of the family. They're just there. But they're not allowed in the bedroom, or they're not allowed on the couch, right? But then you got, families that have dogs where they're invited in the bed. Matter of fact, you want them to sleep with you. Oh, man, that's me. It's just funny how Amy and I are so polar opposites, right? If I had my choice, we wouldn't just have a dog. We'd have a big one, one that produced some warmth. Right? They didn't name that band Three Dog Night for no reason. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, on a cold night, there's just nothing better. I found on any night, there's nothing better. Just get the dog right up there in the bed with you. And so, man, I love it. I go visit Amy's sister. She got 3 dogs. And so I love it because I'm just a visitor, right? I'm brother-in-law. And one of her dogs likes me better than them. So, man, I just love that, right? So the whole time I'm there, I'm petting and just tending. I'm just making sure, right? And I'm get up here close, you know? And so it's so wonderful. One night, Jenny's going to bed. And I'm on the couch watching Sports Center and just laying there trying to fall asleep, you know. And Darla's right up there next to me. Jenny says, come on, Darla. And Darla looks up at her, put her head down. No, just stuck right in there. I won. Come on now. So I want the dog right up there in the bed with me. Well, I want it close. I want to feel it breathing. Right? I want it right there so I can feel the warmth of it. Man, this week when I just let Molly out in the back deck, the Holy Ghost just brought all that back to my remembrance. And so that's exactly how some people treat God. Come on, some people just won't even let him in the house. Some people let him in, they keep him in a cage at night, right? Now, Lord, I'm going to go do some things right now. You just stay here in the cage. Don't you worry about it. I'll come back and let you out. Right? Some people, come on, they let him in their life, right? But there's just then the private moment, the private times only, right? But they're not going, come on now. But then there are people who choose and desire that they really understand that if some of God is good, more of God is better. I want all of him, right? Just get right up here with me. Praise God. Everywhere I am, I want you close. I want you near. Think about how real that scenario is, even of getting in the bed in all of our relationships. Isn't it interesting in a family unit of any kind, when tragedy hits, one of the tendencies we have is everybody just to pile in and let's just sleep together tonight. Spend the night with grandparents, spend the night with close family members. When tragedy hits, it's like you don't even want to go home. You want to be close. You want to be together. I'll never forget a Christmas Eve, how I was probably 6, could have been 7 years old. And my dad worked in the coal mine industry, and he was a mine safety rescue worker, drove an ambulance, was an EMT. Among other things that he did. And so we were coming home from my grandparents' house in West Virginia, and one of his coal mine buddies on that mine safety rescue team passed him on the two-lane road. It was kind of interesting because we were already half an hour from grandmother's house. It was just a coincidence, you would think. And it flagged him down, waved him down, said, "We got to go. We got to go to work. Somebody's been buried." When those coal cars, the coal would go up the conveyor belt and load into a train car, and a gentleman had gotten and fallen on that conveyor belt and was dropped in a coal car and was buried by the coal. They knew he didn't survive. They just had to go dig the coal cars out and find him. And 6 years old, hard to process, you know, that conversation, I'll never forget, because Dad hopped in the car with him. They went on to work. And so my two brothers and I, and 3 of us and Mom, we went on home. Well, it just didn't feel right to, "Hey, good night, everybody. Everybody go get in your own bed," you know. It was a rough night. So what did we do? Man, we grabbed the mattresses off the beds. We put them in the living room by the buck stove, and we all slept together. Right? I remember Dad coming in, 5 or 6 in the morning after working all night, Dad coming in dirty. And even though he's come in dirty, right? We woke up, right? We wanted to hug him. Why? Man, just your heart. When life hits you and reality hits in a way that you don't even want reality to hit, what do? I mean, you just go, you want to get together. My kids are still the age, I hope they don't grow out of it. I guess they will. I don't want Lake to be 23 and hopping in my bed every night. But at 12 and 9, you know, it's still a pretty regular occurrence. They have their own rooms because we're married, glory to God, and just we're adults, you know, you can kick them out. But then there are just nights, real regular, probably almost once a week, where one of them will come slide in, "Dad, can I just sleep in here?" They don't go to Mom's side because Mom says no. They come over to my side. Why? They know what I'm going to say. Come on, if I want a dog in the bed, you know, kid's good, right? And so Summer puts out more heat than Lake, so she serves a better purpose, but he does okay. And never do I say no. Come on. I'm not going to say no. If we're ever in a situation where we're tied on sleep or it's going to bother Amy, I'll get up and say, "Come on, let's go to your room." And I'll go hop in his. Why? Or hop in hers. Why? Because there are nights when it's that knowledge of the closeness of the Father that brings peace to the mind of the trouble, right? The devil don't play fair. He'll try to mess with you even when you're 5 years old, 6 years old. He'll try to bring torment to your mind, right? Bring bad dreams to you. And I haven't found a time when the devil stops to try to mess with people's minds. And so it's awesome that no matter what the force of hell is against a kid's mind, the presence of their father is stronger than that thing. Right? Can't sleep. Get up here. You can sleep right here. Why? Because I'm with you. Oh, this is the desire of our Father God, that we walk closely with Him. And I don't care if you're a millionaire or if you're ultra successful, if you manage 200 people, there are times in your life where we take on the childlike faith mentality of just getting before our Father and saying, I need you right now. It's not something we grow out of. It's something we keep growing into. And I've found that the more that I know Him, the more I want to know Him. And the closer that I walk with Him, come on, the more closely that I want to walk with Him. That is, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Come on. And that goodness is not in your actions. That goodness is in your being, who you are, because you have received Him. There's no child of God that's not a good man or a good woman. Hallelujah. It's not based on what you did. It's based on what He did for you. Hallelujah. So you are a good man. You are a good woman. So what do we expect? Expect my steps are ordered by the Lord. I expect He knows some things that I don't know yet. It's being revealed to me day by day. It's being revealed to me step by step. Hallelujah. Let's talk just a little bit about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. What's it mean to walk with the Lord? What's it mean to walk closely with Him? I like how Paul says it to the church of Galatia. He says in chapter 5, and I think it's verse 25, that if we're going to live in the Spirit, we are to also walk in the Spirit. So if we're going to walk with the Lord, it's not something we're talking about in the natural, is it? It's something we're talking about in our spirit man, the real you, the inner man. He says, if we're going to live in the Spirit, if you're born again, then you are. Amen. You're living out of the Spirit of God. He said, well, if we're going to live in the Spirit, well, then we ought to also then walk in the Spirit of God. Well, what does he mean by that, to walk in the Spirit? Are we to walk around, Jesus? No. Come on, to walk in the Spirit literally just means to be conscious of your spirit man. And even at times, more conscious of him than you are of the natural man. If you're going to live in the Spirit, he said, let's walk in the Spirit. Don't you love the continual usage of this language throughout the Bible? He tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. It's a walk. It's a daily. Hallelujah. It's a daily operation of God in your life. We're told to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, being conscious and aware, not like fools that just exist. No, 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 no. We're on a walk. We're on a path. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, one of my favorite scriptures says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Glory to God. So there's something about walking in the Spirit that is as simple as acknowledging Him. I went into the courthouse this week to transfer the title on an old vehicle, and I've done that, I don't know, probably four or five times a year. We pick up an old $1,000 car for a different person here or there, and so just doing that again, and I've done it so many times, I just know the process, just boom, boom, boom. Just easy, easy, easy. And so I'm in there, and they're funny. Good to see you again, Pastor, you know. And so while I'm in there, there's a gentleman who's older in age, and he's got a more difficult problem. He's got to get a rebuilt title done. Oh, and it's just annoying. And so we've done it twice, and it's a process. And, you know, you got to get your salvage title and you got to show the work that you've accomplished. You got to send pictures into Frankfurt. You got to write a description of the work that was done and why it's ready. You got to get the sheriff to do an inspection and an approval. And it doesn't cost much money. It's just bureaucracy. It's just, yeah. And this old farmer, he just picked up an old truck and he fixed it and he wanted to drive it. And so the desk clerk ladies are trying to tell him, you know, what I just told you. And he's just looking like, oh, I don't know about that. I never done that, you know. And so I'm thinking, oh, poor old fellow, you know. So I left the courthouse and went out the door. As soon as I got out of there, the Lord, come on, say you're walking with the Lord. The Lord said, you know, you ought to help him. You know how to do that. You know you can help him. I thought, Lord, I'm busy. I got places to go right now, right? And I just... come on, took two or three more steps onto the car, and just he arrested my heart. Get back in there. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Right? And so I just came through security, went in through security, just came out past security. Already said bye to the security guards, right? Here I come right back. I said, I got to take care of something. Come on through. They didn't even scan me the second time, right? They saw me walk out, saw me walk back in. And so I went back over, right? I said, hey, I'd love to help you with the process. Just amazing how the Lord, right? How the Lord, he directs our paths. If we'll listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of us, he'll put us in front of people and he'll use you as an instrument of righteousness to touch people's lives. He'll allow you to be the gift that you are. He'll say to you, hop on a plane and get there because they need you. Jesus said, leave the 99 and go after the one. Get in your car, drive there. Why? Because they need you. Pick up the phone and call them. Why? Because they need you. We're walking with the Spirit of God. It's who we are. It's what we do. One of my heroes in the faith, John G. Lake, insurance agent in his early 30s, wealthy, successful. And reminds me, and reading him reminds me of hearing Jim Hockaday preach. So you can tell the personality, very intense, very competitive. Don't you love Brother Hockaday? He's coming in a few weeks. We're going to do a Monday, Tuesday night, the end of April. We're not going to do a Sunday night, Super Sunday, the end of this month. We're going to do a Monday, Tuesday. So Amy said, let's just call it Miracle Monday. We're not going to have a Super Sunday. We're going to have a Miracle Monday. Praise God. And so I love it. When he comes to town, he has an open invitation. And so we always tell him, come on, we just want you. Yeah, come feed us. Come pour into us. Come demonstrate Jesus. And so Brother Hockaday is the most competitive person I have ever met. I've met a lot of 9.5s. He's 9.99. And he will compete with you over anything and everything. And it's actually just fun when he's around to just offer. Race you home. That's all you got to say. You don't say anything else, right? And so it's just a blast. And so when he ministers with an intensity, with a fire. Sometimes, you know, I have to remind myself, he's yelling at the devil, not at me. Right? He's got a kindness to him as well. But anyway, when I hear Brother Hockaday preach, it reminds me of John G. Lake, reading John G. Lake's sermon. This man, ultra successful. Well, when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the fire of God, he knew in his heart, I'm not to dedicate my life any longer to business, but I'm to dedicate it to the call of God to the ministry. So he sold everything he had, gave the money away, and took his family, I think he had 7 children, got on a boat to go to South Africa to carry the gospel to the southern part of Africa. And, you know, it's not something that you would do in a natural plan. Come on now. Nothing natural about that plan that would make sense. But what? That's what he felt in his heart that he was supposed to be doing. So while he was on the boat, I love this story, because a three-week journey there, turn of the century, 100 years ago, right? Turn of that century. And so three-week journey, and so he's on the boat. He's been on the boat for 3 weeks, and on the last day of the journey, just before they docked in South Africa, a lady sees him on this boat, and she says, oh, you're him. You're the American the Lord showed me about. He said, what American? The Lord showed me that I was going to meet an American, and I'm supposed to give you my house. Glory to God, right? She was a believer already. And guess how she treated God? Come on. She didn't keep him out in the backyard, tied on a chain. I'm from Hills, West Virginia. Come on. There's a step I skip there. There's one worse than just not being a house dog, right? There is one you're tied up to a chain to the biggest tree in the backyard. Come on, she didn't live like that with the Lord, but she walked closely. So not only did John G. Lake hear from God, come on, this lady also heard from God. And I love it when the steps of a good man or woman, oh, they're ordered by the Lord. We're just led by that inward witness. Last Saturday, I had been wanting a haircut, you know, and so last Saturday, I just busy all week, busy all week. And you drive by the barbershop on Friday, and there's 14 cars there, and you think, should have got it on Tuesday, right? And so a Saturday come along, and I knew what I had. I knew, oh, it's going to be an investment. I'm not going. I'll just wait. They'll have to watch me preach with mushroom hair. I'm not doing it. I'll wait and go Monday or Tuesday. And so, 9 o'clock, you know, passed, 10 o'clock passed, and by 11 o'clock, I just had this overwhelming, you got to go. I thought, Lord, I don't want to get a haircut. And so I got in the car, and I went down to the barber, opened the door, packed house. I already knew that. I had my expectations. I didn't have false expectations, you know. You ever walked in, are you ladies the same way? Is Saturday the same way? Yeah. And so I opened the door. There they were, the army, you know, people with like three kids, and they're like, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm going to wait and watch them cut three kids' hair, you know, and they're just, it's Saturday, right? And so I just sat down, and as soon as I sat down in the one open chair, the gentleman beside me said, hey, Pastor Jay, it's good to see you. Hey, you. Right? And I didn't recognize Jeff. And so one of the church members here, his cousins, had been to church. So for the next 20 minutes, he preached back to me the one sermon that he had come to church and heard me preach. And then he began to talk about his life. And then we began to share. Come on, I spent an hour just he and I, come on, loving on each other. Working through some stuff. He said, you mind if I call you? I said, I don't mind one bit. So he got up and got in the chair, and I counted heads. I was going to be another hour. I said, you know what? I'll see you Monday. Kind of realize what? Assignment's over. Glory to God. Come on. He orders our steps. That there are times when there's something that seems right to the inner man, and you're not sure why does it seem that I have to do this thing. Oh, glory to God. That's because you're a child of God. You're on a mission. You don't just sign up for mission between 5 and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights or on Thursday nights or I signed up. No. You're on a mission 24/7. You're an instrument of righteousness waiting for God to use you to bring joy to somebody's life, peace to somebody's life, right? Because that's the context of Galatians chapter 5. He says to walk in the Spirit. If we're going to live in the Spirit, he said walk in the Spirit. What did he just get through telling us? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, he says, there is no law. So you're an instrument of God that he is living within you, that there's going to be times where the spirit of kindness that's alive inside of you just needs to minister to somebody, and you just happen to be the one he's going to minister through. There's times when the Spirit of God, come on, the Spirit of peace, just wants to take your peace, the peace he gave you, and put you right in the middle of somebody else's turmoil. Why? Because just your presence saturates the whole atmosphere, changes everything. Glory to God. It's good to be led by the Spirit in it. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's us. I don't know about you, but I want to walk closely with him. I don't want to walk distant with him. I don't want to keep him in the backyard. I don't want to keep God on a shelf and just pull him off when I need him. I want to wake up with him, go to bed with him, be conscious of him. every minute of every day. I think that one of the easiest ways to understand walking in the Spirit is simply the closing that the Apostle Paul gave to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's the first letter that he wrote back to any of the churches. Chronologically, it's the first book of the New Testament. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when he closed there, he said in verse 16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God." Hallelujah. Then he says, "Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophecy." Come on again now. So simple to see. What's he talking about? Every day. Every day. Rejoice always. So if you want to invite God closer to your life and walk more closely with him, there's a process. Every day, where you're just enjoying the presence of God within. What's it going to cause you to do? Or one, you're going to rejoice. So that's a telltale sign. If I'm walking closer with God, I'm not going to be a grumbly grum. Right? I'm not going to be cranky all the time. Why? Because God's not cranky. Pull your toes in. Come on, it's just going to take a second here. Amy tells us all the time, only happy people are allowed to live here. She says it all the time, right? Only happy people are allowed to live here. God's in this house. Because what? There's nothing wrong with me or nothing wrong with the kids if they're grumpy. What's happening? No. We just become too conscious of the flesh. So all you got to do to change that is to become aware again. Woo! Of him. So it's a choice that we make, and it's an allowing every day of our life to allow the Spirit of God to reign supreme. So, number one, he said to the Thessalonians, rejoice always. Just rejoice always. Let life make you happy. Let the joy of the Lord saturate you. Amen. Quit running after things that frustrate you. Let the Spirit of God lead and guide you into things you enjoy, people you enjoy, places you enjoy. Amen. To just let joy saturate your being. Number two, he said, pray without ceasing. Acknowledge God constantly. Hallelujah. I love that we pray over our food and that we pray before we go to bed. But there's no limitation. It's like tipping. You're not just allowed to tip the person at Cracker Barrel. You are allowed to tip the person at Taco Bell. Amen. And you're not just supposed to pray at specified prayer times. No. Come on, just invite him in and talk to him. Acknowledge him all the time. It's so wonderful. You ought to try it. I catch myself praying Kroger, you know. People look at you like, who's he talking to? Never mind, just leave me alone. If you don't embarrass yourself sometimes, you're not walking with the Lord. Singing, right? Catch myself places just singing. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in my heart towards the Lord, Ephesians 5:18 says. And so you're just walking with the Lord. He says, praying without ceasing. I don't mean that 24-7 we're in prayer and you don't do anything else. No. It means constantly, throughout your day, continuously acknowledge him. He wants to be involved in that conversation. He's a jealous God who yearns jealously for our heart and our want to and our desire. He said, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. Man, in everything, just be thankful. God, if we want to invite him with us, there's an invitation in the presence of God with our thanksgiving. You want to create an atmosphere in your life that no devil wants to come into. Come on, when you walk closely with God, it'll make problems leave you. Oh, come on, I'm now talking by the Spirit of God right now. Listen to me. If you'll walk closely with God, there are problems that do not like the atmosphere God sets. Right? The Word of God tells us that God and Belial, or the enemy, does not dwell together. And so if we will manifest the presence of God in our life, hallelujah, as simply as
letting the Spirit of God and His attributes be alive within us constantly, it'll cause demonic forces that are against you to decide, I'm not hanging around this person. It'll even cause sickness and disease to leave. You just get in the presence of God and sickness goes, I don't like it right here, I'm just leaving. Oh, how closely do you want to walk with Him? Man, I want to walk so close. I don't want His steps to be going here. And I go, you know, I'm going to take a little side path here. Lord, I'll meet you back up in an hour. Going, sin has that deception. Sin tells you, you need this, you want this. Your life will be better if you do this. It's just a lie, and another lie, isn't it? Come on, because there's no step outside of the path God has for you that's going to benefit your life. Come on, contrarily, when you walk closely with Him, come on, it'll actually cause problems to leave you, right? Now, last week we talked about how problems are going to always come. So, Pastor, do you not know what you're talking about? No, I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, come on, there's things that persist in the believer's life that ought not persist in the believer's life. It's because they're not walking closely with Him. Will there still be attacks come from the outside? Oh, yeah, you can't stop those. Can't stop those. No, I just mean you can't stop them from coming. I don't mean you can't have victory over them. We have victory over them. That's the beauty of being a believer. But I'm saying they're always going to come. Persecutions are going to come for His name's sake. Going to come, right? The more you do for God, the greater the persecution is going to come. But I'm talking about those things within your life, those daily habits, the daily walk. Come on. No. You get so walking closely with Him, and you don't even have to try to get rid of them. They just fall off. Why? Because that thing doesn't want to have communion with light. And that's why He tells us to walk in the light, even as He is in the light. Glory to God. I want to walk closely. How about you? I'm so thankful sickness and disease doesn't have a role in my life. Amen. I'm so conscious of Him, so conscious of Jesus as the healer. So conscious, why? Because my steps are ordered by the Lord. Since my steps are ordered by the Lord, come on, I'm going to be conscious now of the healing power of God, that He's at work in my body, making me whole. Glory. Every area of our life, I just want more of Him. Let's open our hearts and let Him in closer today. Can we do that? Father God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the power of Your word. Lord, we desire You. We belong to You, Father, not to ourselves. So thankful that we have been bought with a price. We have been bought and purchased with the price of the blood of Your Son, the price of the love of Jesus. Thank You, Father God. Come on, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Come on, I'm just going to give You a chance to just to invite Him in closer today, to make a conscious choice, a conscious decision. I'm walking with God. No matter what He leads me to do, where He puts me, no matter whose path He places me in, come on, I'm going to be obedient to the call. And if you're in here today and you're in the middle of a turmoil, you're in the middle of a fight, oh, it's so wonderful your Father God's not rejecting you. He's wanting to just draw right up close, cause the fear to leave, the anxiety to go, the unsettling. Come on, He's going to trade your sorrow for His joy. Father, we invite You. Oh, we invite You. We invite You. We invite You. Oh, we're so thankful that You never reject us. We invite You, Lord, into every crevice of our heart, every area of our life. We belong to You, Lord. We belong to You, Lord. You are our Father. We are Your children. Minister peace to every single heart in this place. Minister joy to every single heart in this place. Thank You for being God Almighty to us. But thank You for being Father to us. Pulling us close. Never pushing us away. I'm going to walk step in step with You this week, Lord. And I believe we all are. An army of believers. Walking with You. Jesus, precious holy name. Glory to God. Come on, why have our heads bowed? Is anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as Lord of your life? Wants to make Him the Lord of your life? I want to pray with you today. With an uplifted hand, is there anybody across this whole place? Say, Pastor Jay, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. I need to invite Him into my heart. Anybody at all? We'd all hate to leave this place without you knowing what we've come to know. That's the best life. Hallelujah. I just wanted to make sure. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to 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 God. Come on, let's take care of some family business before we leave today. It's been good already, hasn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we have the wisdom of heaven. He's the healer and the revealer. There's no knowledge of God being withheld from his children. Glory to God. So as we talk to him, come on, our hearts are open for heaven's very best. Glory to God. The leading and guidance of the Lord is upon us. For we know the things of God, even the deep things of God. He reveals them unto us. Hallelujah. So we have clarity in our hearts of what we ask for. We get clarity in our hearts for what we're going to ask for. Glory. 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 I thank you for that, Lord. No, she'll have clarity in her heart of what she'll ask for. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So we know the truth. We know the truth. We know the truth. We know who Jesus is. So right now, Father, we thank you that your strength and the strength of the healer is continually ministering to her body. But we thank you also for the revealing power of the Holy Ghost that she knows. that voice is clear on the inside of her heart. We will not have anything less than your best. We can all go to heaven, but I'm going healthy. How about you? I'm going healthy. I'm going healthy. I'm going when I choose to go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is healer. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is healer. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is healer. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. My dad always said this. He said, I'm so thankful. My dad, he just had a real earnest walk with God ever since I was a little boy. And then when I was 11, he became a pastor. But his walk with God was just real all my life. And at 7, he got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Man, he just got so on fire for God. And somewhere along the way, it just got real to him. Stay on God's side. And as simple as that phrase is, oh, that wisdom has helped me time and time again. To stay on God's side. To never let life situation cause me to have any anguish against him or any animosity towards my Father God. Because his desire for our life is so much greater than even our own desire. And his desire for somebody else's life that we love is so much greater than even our own. He loves my kids even more than me, even though my brain and heart can't understand that. And so I'm going to always stay on God's side. Why? Romans 8:28 is true. He's going to work all things out. Come on. All things are going to work together for the good of those who love God. So what am I going to do? I'm going to stay on God's side. So in the middle of any opposition, man, I'm going to invite him in all that he is. Lord, all right, come here. We're going to take care of this thing. I'm speaking health to my body. I'm speaking peace to the storm, right? I'm speaking heaven's best to my finances, to whatever's going on. I'm going to stay on God's side. And when something doesn't work out the way that I thought that it would, come on, I'm not going to get angry at God. But I'm going to stay on God's side. Hallelujah. I don't know everything, but I do know this. The devil can do 1,000 things, and my Father is so wonderful. He can take all those 1,000 things that the devil meant against me, and he can turn them all to propel me, and all things will work together for the good of those who love God. That's how amazing my Father God is. Glory to God. Oh, I could just go deep right now, but it's time to go home. He loves us. Come on, let's just lift our hands one more time. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love for us, saturating us with your love, inviting us to walk closely with you. We're thankful, Father. We're thankful. We're grateful. Isn't he good? He loves us so much. He loves you so much. Oh, he loves you so much. Come on, he doesn't want any time away from us. He just loves us. Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad I came today. Ha ha. Chris, he'll give us more years. Come on, if we want him, if that's it, give you more years. He'll give you more years. Well, Sally's dad passed away on the way to the hospital. Heart stopped 5 minutes. No breathing, 5 minutes. The Spirit of God just told him. More years. That's what I asked him for. Lord, no, we want more years. Come on, he lived 3-4 more years. And those last 3 years left the best testimony that he'd ever left. Come on, there's more years. If you want them, there's more years there. Come on, but if the desire is to go on, you get clarity and peace from heaven, well, what's be better the next 3 years, next 5 years, earth or heaven? Well, for them, there's not even a contest. Heaven's so much better. You're trading a 0.01 for a million, right? But what we do know, come on, the devil will not win. We are victorious. We can take that victory. Come on, there's more years to have, Pat. There's more years to have. If we want them, we get clarity in our heart. Lord, we thank you for more years. This is what I want. I want 2 more years with him. I want 5 more years with him. You say, well, I just want 40 more years. Well, if you got faith for that, I don't. Right? What I do have, though, is faith for more years. I've seen it happen again and again, again and again. If that's what we need, that's the best, that's the plan, that's what we'll have. Glory. I don't mean we'll have it without believing for it. No. I'm saying you get the plan of God on it, you see the steps, then you sink your faith into it, and you won't take no for an answer. I'm going to take, that's what I'm asking you for, Father, right here. We need to come back tonight and have part 2 on that. He loves us so much. He's going to give us the desires of our heart. Doesn't matter what the devil does. He's a barking dog, a roaring lion. We're serving the lion. Glory. Let's invest in the kingdom today before we go. 2 ways to give at Faith Church. Come on, there's offering envelopes in the seat backs in front of you. Or you can text in your offerings. Come on, securely. You text in your offering to the jail, it looked like. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't see that graphic. I thought it was the jail graphic. Same verse we read, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. The same's true in giving. Come on, we acknowledge him. He'll direct your giving path. Amen? He'll direct your giving path. He'll direct your giving path. There ought to be times in your heart where the Spirit of God says, do this. Man, there's no giving better than when the Spirit of God puts something on your heart. It's the best, right? So we're faithful in our giving. We're faithful in our giving because the Lord's faithful in helping us in our living, amen? So we're faithful in our giving. And then we're not just giving out of our head. We're giving out of the direction of our heart. That the Lord will just put it on your heart. I want you to do this. So it's true in our alms, in our benevolence, right? In our giving to the poor. It's true in our tithes and offerings in the storehouse of where God placed us. Come on, I said tithes and offerings, right? The tithe, the first tenth belongs to God, and then offerings being led by the Spirit of God. The Jewish culture and all the offerings that they brought to the Lord all the year, the first fruits offering, all the feast offerings, they gave 28% of their income, brought it back into the storehouse of God, 28%. Of course, the state of Kentucky wasn't taking 6%, and federal government wasn't taking 28%. But I love it. Their heart towards God was way beyond the 10. Amen. So tithes and offerings, come on, we're led by the Spirit of God in all of our givings. And even, come on, our giving just to our children, our giving to people, the generosity of heaven that's within our heart, that we just reciprocate God's generosity everywhere we go. We're just instruments of righteousness to be led by the Spirit of God. Everywhere you go, come on, expect that. Expect God to use you. Come on, to be a blessing to folks. Amen. Father, we bless the offering. We bless today. Every gift sown, every seed sown, your word is true. You multiply the seed sown, measure it back to them. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall man give unto their bosom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Go ahead, guys. Receive this morning's tithes and offerings. I'm so proud of the praise team today. I had the young ones up here today. You did a great job. Love you, Kaylee. You're doing fantastic. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Man, is it not even... I tell you, you get the woman out of the church, you get out early. Hallelujah. I like church better with her. How about you? Amen. I miss her. Almost couldn't shake hands with people. I mean, yeah. Amy hadn't talked yet. In her video this week, she talked about, you know, from a little girl, she saw herself doing that. Even lined up the you know, the stuffed animals, was preaching to them and encouraging them. And I didn't meet her when she was that old. I met her when she was 8. And I can testify she's been this way since I met her. I can't change her and don't want to. Amen? Just thankful for her. She's a blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, Father. Anything else? You know, he just loves us so much. Just loves us so much. He just loves us so much. If today has seemed in any way of a taxing duty upon you, then I presented it wrong. Come on, the gospel is not about what we do for him. The gospel is about what Jesus has done for us. Our role is simply in response to what he's made available. Amen? Just invite him into our hearts in a bigger way. Key to David's success was that he examined his own heart continually. If you judge your own heart, man, you won't spend your life other people having to judge you. No, you just judge your own heart. You just open. If I find any area of my heart that I haven't given to him fully, I just, oh, Lord, get in here. Help me with this. Right, that's it right there. Help me with this. Because there's times self-righteousness wants to do it yourself. You see that in 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds? I do it myself. Yeah, I see it in 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, right? I do it myself. No, 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 God. No, no, no. There's a difference there. We don't want to be self-righteous in any way. No, we want to invite him in. Let the grace of the Lord Jesus do the heavy lifting. I think you got it this morning. Amen. Say, walking closely. Oh, say it like you mean it. Walking closely. I expect to hear testimonies this week. Come on, you've opened your heart up today to listen. You've tuned in to your spirit who's in tune with heaven. Come on, he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you. There's going to be some times this week. Even today, there's going to be times where you were going to do something else, but the Spirit of God just said something to you or pulled your heart in a direction. All right, Lord, can you give the Lord just 10 minutes to obey it, right? Can you give the Lord will you pick up that call, phone, and make that call? Just give him, just don't quench that spirit. See what happens. See what good God brings out of it. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for him. Jesus is coming. Amen. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7:00. We'll see you next Sunday morning, 10:30. Have a wonderful week.